It's here and now. Robin Young is off today, but she left us her conversation with hockey great Bobby Orr, whose memoir is out today. Our studio team's first challenge was getting Bobby Orr to sit down.
That's true.
Well, I'm finished.
I know you were quick on your feet.
Not anymore.
Bad knees forced now 65-year-old Bobby Orr out of the NHL in 1978 after only 12 years. But he's arguably the best who ever played. A defenseman who stayed by the net but then also soared down the ice to score. Sports writer Ray Fitzgerald called him Nureyev on ice. He led the Boston Bruins to two Stanley Cups, including the game-winning goal in overtime in 1970, a play immortalized in a statue outside the TD Garden that's based on the iconic photo of Bobby flying through the air after the goal. Kids imitated, an astronaut recreated it in space, and when we played it for him in our studios, he moved as if he were still skating it.
Orr fights to keep it in, does, has it in the corner to Sanderson, back in front to Orr, shot, scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that?
So what's happening for you when you hear that? Have you heard it too many times? Can you not hear it enough?
I don't think you can hear it enough. It was, growing up in Canada, I mean, my dream was to play in the NHL.
Are you feeling it again? Because you were sort of physically...
Oh, yeah, I know. It's still a great feeling. You know, they have the statue by the garden. But when I look at that statue, I often think of Ace Bailey, my teammate who was killed in 9/11. He was on our team.
His plane flew into one of the towers.
There's a lot more to it than that one goal, one game.
His new memoir tells of his career, his work with kids now as an agent, head of the Orr Group. He also talks about his own agent, who infamously swindled Bobby out of most of his earnings, and how he's quietly built his life back up since then through good deeds. That's unleashed a flood of testimony about the children with cancer quietly visited, the colleagues saved from alcohol, the water turned to wine, all of which, we guessed, made the notoriously private Bobby Orr miserable. Is this hard for you to hear all of these stories?
Nice being with you, Robin.
You too. Is it tough for you to hear because the stories are pouring out?
It's not the way I am. I don't do things to receive recognition for it. I feel it's a responsibility. Years ago, there was an athlete that says, I'm not a role model. Well, once you sign that big contract and once mom and dad are paying for your high-priced tickets and the sneakers and the sticks and the gloves and you join that club.
Well, I remember also a story I heard years ago from you about how after you left the game, you have these two little kids who never saw you play.
No.
You went to a baseball game. Mm-hmm. You went into the locker room and a very famous player kind of ignored your kids. Was this a part of thinking, I'm not going to be like that?
Again, I just think it's a responsibility that we have. And you're talking about my kids not seeing me play. We had an exhibition game in the garden, and I was playing against the Hollywood stars. And, Michael J. Fox and many others were playing. And I was really flying, as you know, Rob. I would see you. So after the game, I thought I played pretty well. I said, well, what'd you think? Oh, it's great, Daddy says. They said we were sitting beside Pete Peters. At that time, Pete Peters was the Bruin goalie. They thought that was great.
They thought that was cool.
Really didn't care about Dad's play.
We told another story about how I think it was 1980. Again, you've left the game. And some kids come to your house for Halloween. And the father says, do you know who lives here? And what'd they say?
They said, yeah, Scout, which is our dog.
This is around the time that you really receded. At this time, I was privileged to go with you and the Reverend Bob Bryan, who has a ministry up in the Quebec Labrador region where seal fishermen were living in poverty because seal fishing was banned. And when he landed on his seaplane on that ice, and those little kids ran out. It was like God had really, it had come from the sky, so it must be God. And there you were.
Well, first of all, I was going through, all of a sudden they take my skates from me. So, mentally I was not knowing what I was going to do. And luckily I had so many friends, of course, Peggy, my wife Peggy, Rock. So I was going through a difficult period. But to go up to the North Shore, and the kids don't see a lot of strangers up there, especially in the wintertime. It was, as you can remember.
No. This was Bobby Orr. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if there was a part of you that felt somewhat fraudulent, like I don't deserve this. And you felt maybe I have to this create something that deserves this.
I honestly don't think about anywhere I go, anything I do. I knew I was going to give them equipment. As you know, we took tons of equipment up there to give to the kids. And as long as I can see smiles, that's all that matters.
Okay. You're deflecting, but that's, you know, just like a shot on net, you are not going to accept these compliments. Let's talk about the play. What do you think it was about your play?
I played a style that not many defensemen played. Coaches didn't like that style, the offensive defensemen. They like you to stay back. I couldn't imagine playing any other way.
Now they're not letting defensemen go down and score you.
No, I mean, you go see a kid's game, and you've got a good young hockey player. He can skate like heck, and the coach is, making them trap, shoot the puck up the glass, don't skate over center ice. This is how we developed our skills. When we were kids playing, drop the puck, and we try things. And I would like to see more of that with our kids. I mean, what's happening in our minor sports today is the kids just aren't having fun.
You're listening to Here and Now. Well, you want them to have fun, but you have a letter you send to older kids you work with outlining a moral code. I mean, this is why people call you the golden boy of this
sport. Oh, I wasn't perfect.
Well, yes, but who could be on the Boston Bruins? But nobody would interpret it as meaning that you don't want a real good, rough game. One of the things you are calling for is keep the enforcer.
They've got to let the players police the ice a little bit themselves. Jean Béliveau, when I would play, Jean Béliveau was a gentleman. Jean Béliveau, you would bump him, you would grind him, you would get in his way. But you didn't try to be silly with Jean Béliveau. If you did, John Ferguson would say to you, no, 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 no.
John Ferguson was the enforcer.
He was the enforcer. Don't do that to Jean Béliveau.
Well, but John,
look, I got hit all the time, but I hit. I was a pain, and I expected that. If a player doesn't play that way, darn it.
You're saying without a Ferguson, you get more people beating up on Béliveau.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But again, at what age did the bad knees force you out of the game?
It was 77, 78, I think.
31?
Yeah, I was 30 or 31.
Way too young. An agent robs you of any of the money that you might have made. Yeah. What would you tell young people now? What do you tell them about you might have the most glorious career ever and it will be cut short and then what?
Get ready. Prepare. Just prepare. I mean, be a good person. I haven't played in a long time and, I still have some nice opportunities out there. So just get ready and be a good person.
Well, one last story. In the mid-80s, there was a plane taking you and about 87 other sports legends to this huge charity fishing event. Every living great athlete was on that plane.
Hondo still has that.
John Havlicek.
Yeah.
It's his fishing tournament.
It's his fishing.
Exactly. This was the first one. And Arnold Palmer, Larry Bird, Bobby Knight, Ted Williams, John Havlicek, everybody's on this plane. And suddenly the plane runs into trouble. It starts dropping. The plane rights itself. There's a long pause, and wonderful local sportscaster Bob Lovell yells out, "What would the headline have been? Bobby Orr and 87 others."
And, Lovey.
What? Where do you think you are in that pantheon?
Look, I never even think about it, honestly, Robin. All I know is things are going great. Our grandchildren. I have a little boy and a little girl now. That it's just. I mean, you can't explain it. I mean, things are going well, but I don't ever think of where I stand.
You've traded the Stanley Cup for a sippy cup.
Yes. Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Bobby Orr. His new long-awaited memoir is Orr, My Story. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.
And we have more of Robin's interview with Bobby Orr, including Bobby Orr's thoughts on new hockey rules and his old agent at hereandnow.org. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty in for Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
For Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, with a new performance season. Miranda July, Carol Armitage, and Bill T. Jones. More at icaboston.org.